Today I'll be reading Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining in the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work.
When I was a kid, and I'm thinking about when I was approximately 8, 9, 10 years old, I wanted to be just like Frank Robinson. Those of you who are as old as me probably remember Frank. He was the star player of the Cincinnati Reds. I wanted to walk like him. I wanted to talk like him. I wanted to hit home runs like him. I wanted to play right field. The problem that I had is that all of my Little League coaches kept putting me at shortstop. So once in a while, I would stand there and say, "Be like Leo Cardenas." You know, it was a sad day in 1966 when the Cincinnati Reds traded Frank Robinson to the Baltimore Orioles. And I'll never forget their motivation for doing that. He was 30 years old, and they said that he was getting a little too old. Wouldn't it be great to be 30? Well, he showed the Reds. He led the American League that year in home runs, in batting average, and in runs batted in, winning the Triple Crown. And he led the Baltimore Orioles to the World Series, where they defeated the Los Angeles Dodgers 4 straight games. I never stopped wanting to be like Frank Robinson, because he was an amazing athlete. Now, I also thought a little bit when I was a kid about a guy by the name of Billy Graham. And I didn't particularly say to God, "I want to be like Billy Graham." But Billy Graham said something once that was very, very important. And now it sticks with me. And it reminds me as I read the book of Ephesians what I should really want to do in life. Billy Graham said that being a Christian is more than just an instantaneous conversion. It is a daily process whereby you grow to be more and more like Christ. Those are Billy Graham's words, and I know the importance of those words now. You see, the person that we should most want to imitate is not a sports hero, it's not a musician, not an actor or an actress. The person that we should most want to imitate is Jesus Christ. This idea begins in the 11th verse of Ephesians chapter 4 with our Lord's creation of spiritual leadership for the church. And I like to think of these gentlemen and these ladies that are being described here in Ephesians 4 as the coaches, those who get me out on the playing field to live for God. So we read in the 11th verse of Ephesians chapter 4, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers." This is the amazing team that God has called forth to begin the church and to prepare people to serve God. He gave those leaders gifts. He gave those leaders roles for a specific purpose. And we read about that purpose in verse 12. It says, "To equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up." That word "equip" is very, very important. Some translations of the Bible, instead of saying "equip," say "prepare." The word for "equip" and the word for "prepare" is, in the original language, the original Greek language, katartizo. And what that word was used for was to describe what a doctor did when he or she was setting a broken bone back into place. That's what it means to equip. That's what it means to prepare. People come to God broken. People come to God's church broken. And so what the Bible is saying is that the apostles, the missionaries, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers are to align broken people with the body of Christ so that they may be built up together. That's what the Bible is teaching us in Ephesians chapter 4. God equips people through alignment. People are helped to salvation, to wholeness, when they are aligned with other people. In the last few weeks, we've had a couple of people from our ministry here who have gone through knee replacement surgery. And when I look at them walking and moving and getting about, I'm reminded of this passage, because that's what happens when people are aligned and the brokenness, the fractures, the stress that has come upon their joints has been repaired and they've been aligned to walk once again. So the goal, according to these verses, is to resemble Jesus Christ. So we read in verse 13, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become more mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. The word unity is very important. A part of what's happening when people grow to be more like Jesus Christ is that they become unified. Have you ever seen conflict between Christians? Maybe you have. You know, when the world looks at that, they think to themselves, what good does Jesus do you guys anyway? Why are you so preachy about your faith when you can't get along with each other? And so what Ephesians 4 is telling us is that when we grow up to be like Christ, we are unified. We are on the same page. We demonstrate our unity by the way that we love and treat one another, by our expressions of appreciation, by the way we serve each other when needs come about. And so unity is a very important part of this verse. But the whole measure of the fullness of Christ implies that we're not simply to be like Jesus in the ways that we choose to. We're to be like Jesus in entirety. We're to imitate Jesus in all ways. And so when we look into the first two verses of Ephesians chapter 5, we read these words, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So, dear friends, if we're to imitate Jesus Christ, it means that we have to make sacrifices. It means we have to sacrifice ourselves. I have read many verses in the Bible which describe the sacrifices that Jesus have made. But what stands out in my mind is found in Philippians chapter 2. We read these very words, who being in very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. So part one of Jesus' sacrifice was coming from heaven to earth. He gave up his divinity and all of its rights and privileges to walk upon this planet with people like you and me. That's a sacrifice. But the second half of that sacrifice is described in these verses. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. So what is God saying to us about imitating Jesus? He's saying you have to make sacrifices. You have to go to places that you probably don't want to go to. You also have to do some things that you probably don't want to do. Those are sacrifices. And that's what God is asking us to do in order for us to be more and more like Jesus Christ. I read recently about two police officers in Barnesville, Georgia. They were on the campus of the Gordon State College. Their names were Dickie Carricker and Maria Gebline. They were responding to a concern about an individual who was in a tent on the college campus. They got inside of the tent and they found a young man by the name of Fred Barley. After talking with him, the police officers became aware of his humility and his determination to go to college. This was a student who was driven. He was so driven that he had gotten on his brother's bicycle and ridden over 6 hours to get to the location that he was at so that he could register for classes. Problem was, he didn't have hardly any money on him. So inspired by this young man's determination, Carriker and Gebline gave him the money that they had in their wallets. And then they took him to a hotel and put him up in that hotel for a night so he wouldn't have to sleep out on the grounds of the college campus. But it didn't stop there. As these police officers got the word out, members of the Barnesville community began to collect on behalf of this young African American. And so they gave him gift cards, they gave him clothes, they gave him food. He eventually got a job at the local pizzeria. But what is even better is that through a GoFundMe page, they raised $184,000. And that was to underwrite the education for a bachelor's degree and for a degree in medical school for this young man. And this is what Officer Carriker said: "It's just beautiful how our community has come together to help someone in need. Barnesville is the epitome of a small town with a big heart." Dear friends, that's what we see here at Mount Washington Baptist Church. When you look out on those tables, you see a congregation with a big heart that cares about children, that cares about families. So we're helping students as they prepare to go back to school with the supplies that they need. And we can keep helping. We never should stop. We should always make sacrifices on behalf of other individuals, because that is what Jesus would do. We sacrifice our finances, we sacrifice our time, we sacrifice our energy to be like Jesus. And you know, the people who receive our help benefit from it greatly. But what the Bible is telling us in Ephesians chapter 4 is that we benefit as well. We read in verse 14, "Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming." So when we give and when we sacrifice and when we're more like Jesus, we are growing ourselves and we're able to resist the scheming and the cunning that goes on all around us all the time. You know, the word for cunning in the original language is kubeya, and it referred to people who were skilled at manipulating dice. And so this world is filled with cheaters, isn't it? That's what Satan is so good at. Somebody may try to tell you that you're not good enough to go to heaven. That's what the devil likes to plant in the minds of people. You're not good enough, you're not strong enough, you're not smart enough, you're not spiritual enough. Why are you wasting your time with those people at that church? But the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 that there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So the person who's pointing a finger at you and saying you're not good enough is the devil and those minions of the devil. But what God is saying to you is, I love you. My grace is sufficient for you. You are welcomed into your master's happiness. And so God is not condemning us. And that's a part of what we're reminded of when we're connected to the body of Christ. What helps us to stand up to the deceitful scheming of Satan's minions is when we are together, whether it's in a Sunday school class, a Bible study, a small group, or any type of fellowship. We need to be surrounded by believers who will hold us up through our trials, who will remind us of God's truth. If you're unified, you're unified with other believers who will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If a Christian is able to stand firm in the midst of trials, that means that we're growing. So we read in Ephesians 4, verse 15, "Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ." So the church belongs to Jesus, and the church should resemble Jesus. I can't think of anything more that I would want than for someone in our community to say to me one day, "You know, your church reminds me so much of Jesus Christ." by the way you serve, by the way you love, by the way you give, and also by the way you treat one another. That's the compliment that would most inspire me. We read in verse 16, from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And that's a picture of a unified church. Do you notice what this verse is teaching us? It's teaching us that the body of Christ needs to be connected, right? It needs to be joined together because we are a body. This is a mulching blade. It's cut a lot of grass. I can attest to that because I put it on my lawnmower many, many years ago. You know, the thing about this mulching blade is that right now, it's useless. And so is the mower to which it's to be attached. The reason is because it's not connected. Dear friends, when you look at this blade, remember that there are so many people in the family of God who are not connected to one another. And so what is the blessing that God is providing through them? It's nothing. Because they're not connected to the body of Christ. They're not in partnership, in fellowship, joined together, serving the world and the body of Christ. That's what we need. We need to be connected. But this passage in verse 16 is also saying that we're to be built up in love. You see, the result of our being equipped, of our being connected, of our being unified, of growing together, is that we will love. And so Jesus said to the disciples, you don't need a password. You don't need some name tag. This is how people will know that you're my disciples. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And this is where some people scratch their heads and say, you mean it's not about how many Bible verses I have memorized? It's not about how nice I look on Sunday morning? It's not about how often I attend the Wednesday night service? No! It's about our love. That's how people know that we're Jesus' disciples. Jesus himself said that. And so what Ephesians chapter 4 is reminding us today is that the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love. That's how the world knows. One of our favorite authors, one of the most famous Christians of our time, is Francis Chan. Francis Chan told about how a missionary came to his congregation, shared a story about a remote tribe in Papua New Guinea. This missionary had been doing service there. And at the end of his story, and about all the lives of the people that he touched, he said to the congregation, I should really give the credit to Vaughn, my former youth pastor, who loved me and inspired me to live for Christ and share the gospel with others. And so that really landed with Francis Chan, the pastor of that church. He heard that statement about Vaughn, and he didn't forget it. The next week, another guy came to our church, Francis said, and he challenged us to start sponsoring kids living in poverty. The second speaker also concluded by saying, I'm involved in this ministry because of my youth pastor, a guy named Vaughn. I found out that these guys were from the same youth group, Francis said. And so he had another speaker the next week, and this individual told about his ministry at a rescue mission in the inner city of Los Angeles. And after his talk, I mentioned that it was so weird the last 2 weeks both of our speakers mentioned how much the impact their youth pastor Vaughn on them. And this individual looked at me, and he said to Francis Chan, I know Vaughn. He's a pastor in San Diego now, and he takes people into the dumps in Tijuana where kids are picking through the garbage. I was just with Vaughn in Tijuana. We would walk in the city, and these kids would run up to him, and he would show such deep love and affection for them. He'd hug them and give them gifts of food and clothing. He'd figure out how to get them showers. Francis, it was eerie. The whole time I was walking with him, I think this is what it would be like to walk with Jesus Christ. He just loved everyone he ran into, and he would tell them about God and his love. And then Dan said this, "The day I spent with Vaughn was the closest thing I've ever experienced to walking with Jesus." Now, keep in mind that Francis Chan has sold millions of books. He's one of the most well-known speakers of our generation in church life. And this is what Francis Chan thought to himself, "Lord, that's what I want. I don't want to be the best speaker in the world. That doesn't matter. I don't want to be the most intelligent person in the world. That's not what I want to be known for. I want to be known for someone saying, 'Wow, he's a lot like Jesus.'" If you were to take Ephesians 4 and say, "How can I make this work in my life?" The most logical, simple, practical way is for us to pray every single day, "Lord, make me more like Jesus." And then to pray, "Lord, make my church more like Jesus." So let's be equipped. Let's be unified. Let's be growing. Let's be growing up into Him. May we pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its power to remind us of how important it is to be like Jesus Christ. We love you and thank you for first loving us. We ask you be glorified in our daily living and that you draw us more and more into the likeness of Jesus. Amen.